this morning. We're going to be looking at the power of Scripture from Psalm 19. I'm going to read you the entire psalm. Then we're going to look at select the text as God's Word on the power of Scripture. So if you'll open up your Bibles to Psalm 19, I'm going to read all 14 verses of that psalm. Psalm 19. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we want to thank You that You've given us another day to look into Your Word. Lord, to know that You're a sovereign God, that You make no mistakes. So Lord, I ask that You will open up the ears of those who are going to listen to Your Word this morning. That You will bring them into truth of Your Word. And also, Lord, that You'll empower me to preach Your Word by Your Holy Spirit and for Your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen. Psalm chapter 19. The perfect revelation of the Lord. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line hath gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one heaven, one end of heaven, and the circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You see, the Bible is the revelation of Almighty God. It is the source of all truth. And since the Bible is the source of God's truth, nothing should be added to nor taken away from it. As one writer states, the devil is always trying to blow out the light of Scripture one way or another. You see, the Bible itself, though, Scripture itself, warns those who try to contaminate it in its message. It says their end will be no good. This morning, I want to look at a few selected texts on the warning of Scripture. Do not add or take away. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4 verse 1 through 2 says, Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. Verse 2 says, You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 5 and 6 says, Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 18 and 19 states, For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You see, the power of Scripture this morning, we're going to look at the value of it and the response to it. You see, you have a general revelation of God and a special revelation of God. In Psalm 19, verse 1 through 6, let's look at the general revelation of God. The revelation of God in Scripture. Let me read that to you once again. Psalm 19, verse 1 through 6. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language which their voice is not heard. Their line hath gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. You see, Psalm 19, here in the study Bible, celebrates the Word of God in the context of creation. It says, all creation, including the heavens, reveals God's glory and majesty. You see, the firmament is another word for heaven. The vast expanse we see is a testimony to the craftsmanship of Almighty God. From the vantage point of the earth, there is no heavenly body so wonderful as the sun. Even so wonderful that in the ancient Middle East, the sun was often thought of a god, and people worshiped the sun. We need to be worshiping the true sun, the Son of God. Let's go over to Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Romans 1, verse 18 through 25. You see, creation screams that there's a God. And just like I said in Psalm 19, the sun is so powerful, so wonderful, that people worship the sun. They worship creation rather than the Creator. That's what Paul says here in Romans. Romans 1, verse 18 through 25. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, in birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, as the text indicates, the truth is about God. Having departed from godliness and righteousness, people suppress the truth about God. That God is their loving Creator and deserves their worship and praise. Sinful people can mentally perceive the revealed truth of God, but they have a choice. Paul says here they are suppressing the truth, and they are without excuse, he says. You see, God's anger is being revealed against sin. and his suppression of the truth of Him as Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. Because what God made known to them, not only are divine attributes clearly seen in humanity, but He says in the text, in the material universe, they are seen. You see, when you look at the human cell of the body, and you look at the mountains of the earth, they all attest to a Creator. They all attest to an Almighty God who works with power and wisdom. The people simply suppress the truth. I want to read to you what he wrote in the Psalms of Creation in the Study Bible. The Psalms of Creation. This is a little in-depth study on this, where everything that exists is made by God. You see, that's general revelation. Psalm 19, 1 through 6. And also many other places in the Psalms. Because the poets of the Old Testament loved to describe the natural world. Like all people in that ancient time, they lived closer to nature than most of us do today. They enjoyed nature's beautiful and fascinating manifestations. They observed the way of the birds, the badgers, the rivers, and the pulsing waves of the sea. In this respect, the biblical poets had much in common with many other poets throughout history, but they were different in two important ways. The biblical poets were different from their neighbors of the Middle East. First, they resisted the temptation to deify nature. Their neighbors held nature up on a pedestal and deified it. They worshipped it. You see, the biblical poets learned, though, to do something truly new. Namely, they loved nature, but they did not bow down to nature. They enjoyed nature, but they did not worship it as a god. Another distinctive measure of the biblical poets was their identification of nature. For them, nature was always creation. The word nature does not itself deify the world, but it still implies that the world has its own sense of a being, its own power. On the other hand, the word creation is a term of faith. It expresses belief that everything that exists is made by God, Almighty God. All the beauty, the splendor of the universe comes from God's creative hands. In some ways, the modern emphasis on Mother Earth is simply a revival of the goddess of the cults of the ancient Middle Age. However, the biblical poets, the authors of the creation Psalms, had the right perspective. You see, me and you, we can't express our enjoyment of creation without bowing down to it or worshiping it. We can love the earth because we first love its Creator. We can rejoice in the marvels of nature, the sparkling waterfall, the soaring eagle. Because we know that they are a handiwork of Almighty God. Even efforts to save the earth should arise from the worship of our Creator and the knowledge that we are called to be responsible stewards of the earth. Because everything God created is a gift from Him to us. You see, in the power of Scripture, Psalm 19, 1 through 6, to general revelation, creation screams there are God that created everything. And we should worship Him instead of the creation. And then we have a special revelation. Only by this special revelation, we can know the gospel. This revelation comes when God supernaturally opens our spiritual eyes to His Word, which holds the gospel of Jesus Christ, which leads to salvation through Him and Him alone. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let me read you this special revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 16. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So you see, there's a general revelation. Creation speaks that there's a God. And there's a special revelation which the Holy Spirit has to bring you into the truth of who Jesus Christ is. There has to be an unrevealing, a taking off of the veil, if you will, of a hardened heart to see who Jesus really is and what the value and the power of His Word really is. You see, the value of Scripture comes from Psalm 19, verse 7 through 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. I want you to notice six things about that. The value of Scripture. The value, the words describing the law and instruction of God. I want you also to notice that each of these begin with the Lord. There's no question, it's the Lord's. It did not come from man. Look at verse 7 again, to the words. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true, and righteous altogether. Now notice the effects. The effects. Because go back to the words again. It says, the law, the testimony, the commandment, the fear, and the judgments. But notice the effects of them. Verse 7 again. It says, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Doing what? Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoices the heart. Verse 8. The statutes, the commandment of the Lord is pure. Enlightening the eyes. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean. Enduring forever. Endures forever. That's the effect. In verse 9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It produces righteousness. So you see the value of Scripture. You see the words that it speaks about itself. And you notice the effects of Scripture. You see, when you look at that, as I wrote here, it says, church, that's power. That's the power of Scripture. The Bible, God's Word, is instruction for man's life. There is no non-added value or attributes of God's Word. God's Word is all added value. It's value-added instruction to man's life. When believers, I mean truly born-again believers, followers of Jesus Christ, when we grasp this, the power of Scripture, how it can convert, how it can supernaturally transform by the power of the Holy Spirit through its testimony. We should desire to hear it. We should desire to hear it preached. We should desire to study it and meditate it on ourselves. And we should long to give it to others. You see, the Word of God, powered by the Holy Spirit, can totally transform the whole inner person. I want to paraphrase what one writer states about the value of Scripture. The Scripture is God's testimony. God's self-revelation to mankind. God's self-disclosure. You see, it amazes me that Almighty God, Creator of everything, reveals Himself to us in such a large way through the Bible. The 66 books. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. All revealing truth about Himself. And once we grasp that, once we understand that, once we meditate on that and ask God to bring us in the truth of that, then we begin to truly rest in His power, provisions, and the promises that He states in His Word. There's only one set of books that has ever been written that can completely transform a person's life for eternity. And there's only one set of books that can truly give you the tools to live life to the fullest. That is the Bible, the Word of God. You see, over in John 17, verse 15 through 17, Jesus' priestly prayer, He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Verse 17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Over in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Go to chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 of 1 Peter. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Church, the value of Scripture is really unsearchable. You see, there is a world of unsaved people out there running to and fro, searching and searching for answers, for peace, for joy, for security. They just keep running. They just keep searching. If they were really, truly honest with themselves, they are not satisfied with what the world offers them. You see, they cannot by their own willpower, their philosophies or programs, they will never, ever overcome sin and guilt of sin. They will never overcome the desires of the flesh. Or should I say, they have no power to overcome the world, the flesh, or the devil. You see, without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and submission to Him as Lord of all, and the power of the Holy Spirit bringing them into the truth of God's Word, people cannot discern the power, the value of Scripture. And it burdens my heart. Unfortunately, even Christians are failing to embrace this truth and allowing the lies of the enemy to deceive them into worldly philosophies on where their peace, their joy, and security truly is. Do you value Scripture? Do you value what it can do for you? Where do you have your security? Where do you find your peace, your joy? Is it from God's Word? His promises? Or is it from worldly philosophies and programs? Let's look at the response now. Psalm 19, once again. Let's go to verse 10 and go down to verse 14. Because we've seen the power of Scripture and the value. Let's look at the response. Psalm 19, verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and a honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over them, over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I like what the paraphrase says on this, Eugene Peterson, in the Message, on Psalm 19, verse 10 through 14. God's Word is better than a diamond set between emeralds. You'll like it better than strawberries in spring, better than red, ripe strawberries. There's more. God's Word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. Otherwise, how would we find our way? Or know when we play the fool? Clean the slate, God, so we can start that day fresh. Keep me from stupid sins, from thinking I can take over your work. Then I can stay this day sun-washed, scrubbed clean of the grime of sin. These are the words in my mouth, These are what I chew on and pray. Accept them when I place them on the morning altar, O God, my altar rock, God, priest of my altar. I want to look at the D's of response. The D's of response of Psalm 19, verse 10 through 14. Verse 10 says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. The first D is desire. We should hunger for God's Word. I'm going to walk us through these three D's and other Scriptures to illustrate the three D's to us by Scripture. Psalm 119, verse 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive in me your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 65 through 72. Once again, we're looking at the first D. We should hunger for God's Word. We should desire God's Word. Psalm 119, verse 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud has forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 9. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Let's finish with Matthew 4. Matthew 4, 1 through 4 on the first D. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you desire God's Word? Do you hunger for God's Word? The psalmist did. Second D, Psalm 19. Now let's go to verse 11 through 13. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Second D, we should search for God's Word for decisions. Discernment. The response to God's Word should be desired and should be for discernment. Once again, let's go to the Scriptures. Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 127 through 30. Therefore I love your commandments. More than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Psalm 119, 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. I could use many other scriptures on this. But do you see God's Word as valuable? And do you respond to God's Word in life's decisions that you have to make? When you make a decision in your life, do you immediately go to God's Word to search for direction? Or do you immediately go to man for their wisdom and knowledge? The third D, Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I call this D destiny. Destiny. Back to Psalms. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. On the third D, destiny. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in the seasons, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 1 through 6, on the third D, destiny. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for the length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. You see, God's Word, third D, the response is destiny. Let's conclude this morning with just reading through Psalm 19, 14 verses. We've seen the value of Scripture. We've seen the response we should have to Scripture. And can you see the power of Scripture? I want to close with two more Psalms. Psalm 111, verse 10, first. It states, Psalm 11, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. And then Psalm 119, verses 1 through 24. Listen to the words of the psalmist. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, that I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I might live and keep your word. Open my eyes, that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgment at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Do you see the power of Scripture? Do you value the power of Scripture? Do you value Scripture? How do you respond to God's Word? As James 1, verse 21, God's little promises this morning, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Let's pray. Father, as we close this morning, we do want to thank you for your word. We thank you for your Holy Spirit to bring us into truth of it. So Lord, I know you said in your word is a supernatural book. Without the Holy Spirit, people will not understand. So my prayer this morning, Father, is for those who are listening, who are going to listen to this sermon, that you will open their eyes supernaturally by your Holy Spirit. Some to salvation, that never has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Bring him into the special revelation of who Jesus is. And also, Father, for those born-again believers, help us, by your Holy Spirit, to value your word and to respond to it the way the psalmist did. I pray for every one of us that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight. Lord, we can't do it outside the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Help us all to remember what it says in Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God. Help us as we put that armor on to know that your word is a sword of the Spirit. Help us, every one of us, to love your word, to walk in your ways, and to go out and make a defense for the hope that's within us, for your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.